Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to see you guys in here, including the youth and the adults. I have translated the sermon outline into the PowerPoint. So for those of you who have a trouble understanding English, you guys can look on the a PowerPoint. I did it this morning, so it might be a little choppy, but I think you'll be able to get the message across. As we begin, in the U.S., there's a lot of tradition. For most of us, there's Thanksgiving tradition, or there's Christmas tradition, or tradition as is the tradition itself for the family-wise. For us, for our family, we have a Black Friday. We have a Christmas tradition that we give presents during Black Friday, that we give each other a present that we can use throughout the month of December. For me, my wife got me a hot kettle and cocoa mix, so I can drink those throughout Christmas because they're great. But when we focus on the tradition of Christmas, we have a lot of traditions. For example, decorating houses or chopping a tree to bring it in and decorating a tree. Or we eat eggnog. We put eggnog as a drink, and that's also tradition. Some might think that this stuff is weird, but out of all this tradition, there is one tradition that stands above is that Christmas present. Kids wait for this Christmas present that are wrapped under the tree, and they cannot wait until the day of Christmas to open it. For you guys think that, what is this made of? Some of you guys try to pick it up, try to shake it to see what's in there. Or I hope you guys don't do it, but some of you might try to cut it open to see what's in there and then put it back in. And when December 25th, the Christmas that comes, like when you finally get to open it, the waiting is over. All the anticipation that made you wait until it get there, it was all worth it. And when we think about the Christmas story, our minds go straight into baby Jesus in a manger, how he came. That is a major part of it. That's a lot of story there into it, but that's just not it. 1,100 pages in Old Testament, it tells all about Christ. We are in this season of Advent. In Korean, we call it Daegangjeol. I'm pretty sure that most of us never use this word outside of church setting. So let's dig into a little bit. What does the word Advent mean? The word Advent derives from a Latin word called Adventus. When it's translated, it means arrival. During the season of Advent, we intentionally take time to reflect on arrival of Jesus Christ. Let's put ourselves into shoes of the ancient Israelites, or even Mary and Joseph, as they anticipate the arrival of a Messiah that's coming. When we think about it, waiting is a big part when it comes to Christmas. We wait for the gifts. We wait on the day that arrive. We wait for the day of Christmas to arrive. And for some of us, we wait line in the store to get presents. All those are good, but we should also reflect on what does it mean to wait for coming Christ. For Christians, we should use this leading weeks unto Christmas to reflect on coming King that means so much in our lives. Let's examine the often overlooked theme of Christmas, and that is that we wait because there's hope. Today's passage comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, but I want to read entire passage. I want to read a section from verse 2 to verse 7, and it says this: "For to us child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The people walking in darkness is in the great light, and those living in the land of the darkness is not dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as the people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when diving the plunder, for as the day of the Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in the battle and every garment that rolled in the blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. And today's verse says this, for unto us a child is born, the son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's dig deeper into what this passage says. First, this prophecy was written by prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the well-known prophets during the history of Israel. His name Isaiah literally means that God is my salvation. And what's fitting of his title is that he spends most of the time in his ministry foretelling the coming king for God's people, to be savior for people of Israel. When Isaiah wrote this to his to Israel, it was a very hard time in history. Israel just lost the war. It was a huge war that they lost. And it caused the people to spread all throughout the wilderness. They're experiencing coming out from Egypt once again. No home, no comfort. They felt broken, abandoned, and they also felt homesick. They wanted to go back to where home was. And here in verse 6, prophet Isaiah shines a light through the cracks in their brokenness, and the prophet foretells the king who will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Let's unpack this. Wonderful represents his supernatural nature. Counselor represents his coming comfort. Mighty God shows strength and power. An Everlasting Father is a promise of a good father who doesn't let his kids down, that he will not leave us. And lastly, Prince of Peace. This likely is the promise that they needed to hear the most based on their circumstances, what they're going through. Doesn't this prophecy or the promise sounds amazing? Ancient Israelites lived in a time of unbearable war and bloodshed. They didn't live on their own land because the violence forced them out of as refugees. They were in a constant fear of violence. They did not know where they would spend this month to the next, let alone the next year. They didn't know when their son would be called out to the battle. They don't know when their sons are going to die. And out of fear and darkness, here the prophet Isaiah brings a prophecy saying that there is Prince of Peace that's coming. And that is exactly the message of hope the Israelites needed to hear. A king who was going to bring grace, a king who was going to bring peace to the world. And the earth will rest on his shoulders. He's going to rule fairly and lovingly. Israelites were ready for this Prince of Peace to come. Did it happen immediately? No. Most of us want the promise. We make a promise we would like to happen immediately for our good. But the promise did not fulfill until much later. 100 years has passed. 200 years has passed. And 300 years has passed. It wasn't until over 600 years later where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God made a promise, but that promise took some time before it came to pass or became come to fulfill. In this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to wait well, because you will spend a lot of time in waiting. Some of you are still waiting for a package that you order on Black Friday. Some of you are still waiting for the present to come in. Or some of us, we're just waiting for the breakthrough to happen. Or some of us, we're waiting for the situation that you are in to make sense. Or some of us are waiting for our relationship to improve, whether that's family, colleague, or a friend. Or some of us were just waiting on a miracle to happen. In this midst of waiting, with nothing is happening, we're going to feel that it seems like God's just kind of staying still. He's not really doing much. You can't feel that way. But let me assure you of this, that Christmas reminds that there is hope and that God will come through. God's promises will come to pass. However, this is an important part, that God's promise do not have to follow your timeline. That God's promise will not follow your timeline. Pray and ask God to help you to wait well. Because our waiting well would turn into wonder, and your confusion will turn into clarity. The wait will be worth it. What was on the other side of waiting? The promised Messiah. That God was going to step down into human flesh. The Christmas story illustrates a life-changing truth. And that is this, that Jesus does not take your pain away immediately. Or he may never take your pain away. But he does promise that you will not go through it alone. That he will promise that he will be there. Both prophet Isaiah and the angel in the New Testament, what they prophesied, when they prophesied the birth of Christ, they described him as Emmanuel. The term Emmanuel translates to God with us. Most Bibles will even tell you the definition right next to the text. And they don't usually do that with all the words in Bible. They only do with certain words. And that is to illustrate the emphasis behind the name that deserves, Emmanuel, the God with us. Let me assure you of this, that you're not alone. You may feel like it, but you're not alone. That God is with you, that God came into this world as Jesus Christ, and he walked the same earth as us. He experienced loss, pain, hunger, anger, and grief. And since he grew up from young boy to adult, he may have some acne on his face. He experienced everything that we could possibly experience as God. We must remember that Jesus is with us. Whatever you are going through right now, I want you to know that God is with you. That he is there for you, and you do not have to face anything alone. You may feel like you're in a season of waiting, but look at the Christmas story as a reminder that the God keeps promises and that Jesus is present in our lives. This is my encouragement to you. Everyone shut your eyes. Everyone shut your eyes. Take a deep breath in, and let's take some time to pray. We're going to pray collectively to Emmanuel, the God with us. And as we pray next minute or so, strive to fill him with you right now. That Jesus is as close to you as your next breath. The wait is over. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your patience and your grace for us, Lord. As Israelites waited for Messiah to come, and when Messiah did came, that's those 600 years was a very long time. And for some of us, we are in that season of waiting, Lord. And I pray as we continue to wait, I pray that, they be able to look towards you as they wait, Lord. And that you keep them reminded that we are not alone, that you are with us, that you are here for us. You were there in the past, you are here in the now, and you will be us with us in the future, Lord. Let that be a reminder as we jump into the season of Advent, as we hope of coming a Messiah, that it is worth the wait because of the hope, the living hope that Jesus Christ is. I pray that you be with us as we go out from this week, that that be a reminder for this week for us to meditate upon, Lord. Thank you so much for your Son again and the love that we do not deserve, yet you freely give us. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.